Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is your boy, your host, Deacon Chaka Odom, coming from you today, this evening, live from the barbershop. I hope everybody has a blessed day. Welcome my co-host, Katrina. We're having a just get started. So before we do anything, I want to give honor to God first in my life. So that being said, let's go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We're asking you to show up and show out. We're expecting you to do some mighty things with this radio show for the men, for the women, for everybody that lives. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for clothing us in our right mind. God, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. Because, God, if it wasn't for you, where would we be? God, we thank you with all the things that we have been through this past week, God. We're looking forward for a good week from you, God, to touch, to heal, to deliver, to set free. With that being said, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Today's scripture is coming from Proverbs 23:6. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes find happiness in my ways. And as y'all know, the topic for our brothers today is, my brother, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? That being said, Katrina, how was your day today?
Oh, I had an awesome day today, especially spending time with God and praising and worshiping and honoring him. It's just something about when you just be off to yourself and it's just you and the Lord, how God empowers you during that time. And it's nothing like being in his presence. But this has been an awesome day for me.
That's right. Well, good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for coming to the show. You could have been here anywhere else, but you decided to hang out with us at the barbershop again this weekend. And again, we thank you. For the ones that's on the internet listening to it live, we thank you for listening in. We hope these words and these advice that we give you today will touch your heart, open up your mind, and push you to God. And we thank you. With that being said, like I said, the topic is, my brother, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? This could go for women as well, you know, but I'm speaking to my brothers today, just letting you know, asking a question, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? And I was talking to some friends of mine, I was talking to one of my boys today, and he asked me what the topic was, and I told him. And, you know, again, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? And that's something for the fellas. Like I said, this can go for men and women. This is something to really sit here and think about. Are you happy with what you see in the mirror? I mean, to me, now, before I got saved, no, I wasn't happy with what I seen in the mirror, because I seen a person that was hurt, that was out for self, let pride get in the way. You know, it was all about me because of what someone else done to me. Now, when I look in the mirror, I see a new person, a new man, still striving to be a better man and to do what God called me to do. And, you know, it's just like when Pastor told us today that we have to, sometimes we have to go down memory lane, you know, to see where we at and to where we at now. And I just thank God for giving me a second chance, or thank God for his grace and mercy, you know, because I could still be out there drinking, smoking, getting high, you know, selling drugs, doing all the things that I was doing before I got saved. But, you know, like I said, by his grace and his mercy, you know, that's a blessing. You know, with that being said, Katrina, from a woman's point of view, Are you happy with what you see in the mirror?
Well, at one time, no, because I was not living a Christian life. I was just out there doing my own will and didn't care. I was drinking and smoking weed and hanging out, going clubbing, just meeting all different kind of people. But now I can safely say I can look in the mirror and I see a new person because God removed all of those old things. And I can safely say that I'm happy with what I see now because of what God has done in my life. And also this, we know that this is a daily thing, not just a, you know, pick up, put down, but it's a daily. So I just thank God for making that change in my life. And I just look totally new compared to when I was living in darkness. So
yeah.
Now I'm living for the Lord and I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I feel the same way because, you know, it's amazing how we can sit out there when we was out there in the world. We can give Satan all his time and do the things that we do. Then once we get saved or we give our life back to Christ, we don't have that joy that we had when we was in darkness. And that's a lot of people, I mean, failing to understand. If you're not saved, you're living in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you plan on... To me, I couldn't stay in darkness. So, you know, when you're in the darkness, you tend to run into stuff you can't see. Well, you can't even see your hands sometimes if it's real dark. So why
mm-hmm.
stay in a place where it's dark, knowing that you're going to run into a lot of things? But then if you have that opportunity to give your life to Christ, you know that it's just like when you keep doing the same things over and over and over, and you keep getting the same results. You know, so why, you know, stay in darkness when you know it's a man named Jesus who can change your life? You know, like I always said, this walk with Christ is not easy. It's not. Because, you know, once we give our life to Christ, you know, Satan is really after us.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care about the ones that's set in darkness because he already know what they're going to do.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the reasons why I ask that question, because I know it's a lot of men that look in the mirror. And like I said, it goes for women too. Just look in the mirror and ask yourself that question. Are you happy with what I see in the mirror? That's a question to ask. You know, and it's a deep question, you know. Like I said, me and one of my boys was talking, he was like, son, you dress yourself on some toes. But I mean, the truth hurts. I mean, that's what it is. People are looking for the truth these days. We can't sugarcoat the word. You know, when we talk about God, what he's done in our life and what he says in his word, we can't sugarcoat it to tickle somebody's. You know, that's for us to tell the truth. And God looks for people to tell the truth. You know, that's why I thank God for giving me this, you know, placing this assignment, the box top, on my heart because of the compassion I have for my brothers. You know, that's one thing about it. I don't want to see none of my brothers fall to the wayside. You know, I know we won't be able to help bring a lot to Christ. You know, like I said, as long as I can cut one or two through this show, I'm doing a good job. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep running this race. And, you know, that's why I tell the men, call in and listen. You know, call in or listen to it on the internet because it might be something that we might say that might just change your whole mindset. You know, it's about darkness, living in darkness. And you know, I live in darkness. That's why, you know, I'm glad, you know, me and Jerome put this topic together. I had came up with something and we sat down and I humbled myself to some of the ideas he gave me to add to this topic. And it's really something to think about. You know, again, it can go for women as well. Ladies, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? Because in order for somebody else to be happy with you, you have to be happy with yourself. You know, how can you be in a relationship and be happy with that person if you build up to yourself? You know, I can't, you know, But some people, that's, you know, some people like what it is. But, you know, we still have an opportunity where we can grow and we can accomplish things. But you understand, you have to have God in your life, because the gift that we have was given to us in God. And so if you look in the mirror and don't like what you see, it's an opportunity now, you know, to change that situation. You know, if you're married, you want to be a better husband. You want to be a better father to your kids. Or you just want to be a better person, period. You know, this question will make you evaluate or inventory yourself. Just think on where you was at, let's say a year ago, to look where you at now. Are you getting the same results that you were getting last year? Are you in the same storm that you was last year? If so, then it's time to change it. You know, especially if you got kids, you want your kids to be better than you. You know, so why stay in darkness? If you don't like what you see in the mirror, you have the opportunity now to change. Like I said, when I talk to the brothers, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to put you down. We're here to encourage. It goes for the ladies as well. So when the ladies out there listening, it goes for you too. We're not here to judge nobody. We're here to uplift, build you up, encourage you, love on you, you know, and pray for you. That's what the barber shop is all about. With that being said, Katrina, do you have anything to about this topic?
Well, I think it's an awesome topic, and this planet is going to reach many. I'm telling you, we are nothing without God. And when you out there in the world of sin, you do not have that covering over you. You are not covered under the blood. You don't have that protection. But once you give your life over to God, He's going to change it all. He's going to cover you. He's going to protect you, dispatch guardian angels around you. And I'm telling you, it's nothing like being a child of God. It's the most awesome feeling in the world, especially when you can be in the presence of God. And when you're going through something, who wouldn't want to serve a God that has so much love for us and grace and mercy that we can go to Him anytime, no matter what time it is, in the morning or whenever, we can go to Him at all times. And He hears our cry. And I'm telling you, I just thank God, because when I was out there in the world, I could have been killed with the stuff that I was doing. I could have been killed. Anything could have happened to me. But God saw fit. He kept me even through all of that. Now I'm a living testimony, and I can say what God has done for me, bringing me out of all that drinking, just everything that I was doing. So I just thank God, you know, just that He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my everything. And I'm just happy about that, because He gave me an opportunity to get it right. While we're still breathing, there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope. So like I said, God, He's waiting. It's not hard. It is not hard. I'm telling you, make the change and you will not regret it. I mean, look at it like this, bro. Either way, whether we're saved or not saved, we're going to go through some stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But why not go through and have a Father there who's there to comfort us in the time that we need Him? You know what I'm saying? The time in our darkest hours, God is always there. So who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? And we're out there in the world of sin that we're going through. We don't have nobody to run to, just running in the brick walls.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's time. It's time to get it right. It's time to come in, because time is winding up. We're in the last days, and this is no time to be playing. It's time to line up and get it right.
So, yeah. I got a special guest that I want to bring onto the show. It's my brother from out of Connecticut. His name is Evangelist Cal Taylor. The show number is 7714-7714. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yo, what's going on, bro?
Well, how you doing, my friend? How you doing, brother? Doing well.
All right.
Just got through with our church service, and a lot of people came. We ministered in the park on Sundays. We ministered to the homeless and to the lost. And it's funny how you, when you start lifting up the name of Jesus, folks just stop and just listen. So we had a good showing today here, so we thank God for it. Thank you for having me on the service today.
Yeah, Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for y'all don't know, this is my brother. We just recently started back talking to each other. My brother has been in Connecticut up there in Colwell, just too long graduated from college with another degree. He's spreading the word, as you heard. He's an evangelist. He's preaching to the lost. And I thank God for bringing my brother back into my life. You know, God has done some wonderful things with me. And who would have known that me and my brother would be sitting here trying to help save souls, bring people to Christ, or just tell them the goodness of Jesus. And I thank God for bringing him back into my life, just as well as my co-host, Jerome. You know, God is putting strong men together, but he really has something for us to do. I don't know if y'all realize, but to me, God has placed some strong men in my life, and this radio show is going to help spread the word with these strong men that, you know, with me. God is here to show himself mighty. And like I always tell, you know, my brothers, I said, you know, just imagine if all of us link arms together. You know, what we can do in our churches, in our community, in our school, in the government, you know, we can do a lot of things together. You know, what men is taking back their rightful place, that's the head. You know, we can do a lot of things. You know, it's not too late for us to get it right. Just like my sister said, the time is winding down, fellas. You know, we have the opportunity to really step our game up as men and be what God called us to be, which is grace. I don't know about nobody else, but, you know, I want to be better than what I am now. I come a long way. You know, I got to, you know, I came from, you know, from the project. You know, I strayed away. I grew up in church. I strayed away, but I always listened to my grandma. I always say, you better get it right. Knowing that the things that I was doing out in the world, that weren't right, but my grandma didn't never judge me. She always told me, Maurice, you better get it right. You better get it right. And that day came when I got it right. You know, I slipped a couple of times, and, you know, I'm man enough to admit it. But you know what? But I'm also a man enough to go back to God and ask God to forgive me. And since then, God has been really moving in my life, and I thank him for that. So again, I thank God for bringing my brother back into my life, and me and him have spoke once before. I think God's going to do some mighty things with me. I see it. I feel it. And I just can't wait for what God's going to have us to do as strong men of God. You know, just as well as Elder Wilson and Jerome, who also helped me on this show, you know, you're looking at four strong men right there, the love of God. Don't mind telling nobody how good he is. And we even have my sister Katrina, who's been a big help, you know, just coming from a woman's point of view. And 2 weeks in a row, we did a show for the women, and it was powerful. So, women, if you listen, you missed a good show, but you can always go back and listen to it. You know, I thank God for putting the right people in my life. You know, and I thank him. You know, for that being said, you know, it's a blessing, y'all. You know, to my brothers out there that's listening, let's get it right. You know, let's pick up the ball and show God and show the women God called us to do. Stop letting the women, you know, do all the stuff that God had called us to do. You know, the women are our help me. You know, and let's let them be that. So let's step our game up and link arms together. But first, if you out there in darkness, you have to give your life to Christ. You know, just like my sister said, I'd rather be on God's side, go through a storm that I can go to somebody and just cry out. He'll bring you through it. But then to stay out, like I said, again, you out there in darkness, you walking into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is when you in the house and you trying to walk through the dark, knowing you need to turn the light on, all of a sudden you stomp your big toe and you mad. What you mad for? Because you could have turned the light on. I mean, I know you probably been in wherever you're staying at for the longest, still there's nothing wrong with flipping that light switch. So like I said about the topic, man, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? That's something really to think about. You know, I challenge the men to step their game up. You know, because time is winding down. We see all these things that's happening in this world. You know, people getting shot at the church. You know, people getting shot at the movie theaters. People on vacation. You know, matter of fact, a young man come on the beach with a steam gun and just start shooting. You know, Satan's doing his job. But it's time for us men to step up and let him know that we're not playing, that he can't have our family. He can't have our kids. He can't have our church. He can't have our community. We have to step up. You know, he's going to keep running rapid if we don't step up and put our foot down. It's funny that we can put our foot down to our own brother. But when it comes to linking arms and standing up for what's right, we can't do it. We won't do it. Because we let that pride and ego get in the way. And that's crazy, because pride leads to destruction. Pride is not of God. So you have to humble yourself and let that pride go. You know, I always say you got to let that pride and ego go. You know, because if you plan on making heaven and you stuck on yourself, you ain't going to make it in there. It's about helping one another. So that we love them, showing that compassionate heart. You know, when somebody in need, reach out to them. That's why I thank God for this show to let me reach out to my brothers and let them know it's okay. You know, I've told the women several times, it's hard being a man. And you're talking about a black man. Yeah, it's hard. You know, but then I ask the women, do you know the real value of a man? Sometimes we have to ask our own, do I know my value as a man? You know, so it's crazy that, like I said, the brothers don't want to stick together. You know, you're leaving your kids high and dry. You're leaving your wives high and dry, you know, because you think you're being macho. I mean, you out here having these kids with somebody you don't even want to be with, but then you out here bragging, but then when it's time for you to step up and be that man or that father to your child, you know, we're around. But then when somebody, another man steps up his game and take care of your child, then you want to get mad. For what reason? You know, like I said, like I asked to look, my brothers, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? Think about it. This is the time for us to get our life together, get situated. Leave the darkness alone, come to the light. Yeah, when you walk with Christ, it's not going to be easy, because the enemy is going to test you more because you're going to left him. As long as you're in the darkness, he don't care. He already knows what you're going to do. You know, my sister Katrina said when she was out there in the world, I said it when I was out there in the world, we ain't been saved all our life. All of us was out there in the dark. We still got some friends that we used to hang with still in darkness. But now that we came out the darkness and we in the light, it's time for us to reach back and grab them and bring them in. Let them see how good God is. Tell them, and I think it beat them across the head. Don't judge them. Because when we was out there in the world, didn't nobody judge us. We had people praying for us. I know Katrina had her mom, her grandma, they were praying for us just as well as me. I know my brother had our mom praying for him. This grandma, they were praying for us. But God told us to do his will, to do his work. And that's an honor, doing the will of God. But God could have left us out there doing what we were doing in the world. But he chose us. So, fellas, let's get it together. You know, you want to walk around here with chest stuck out, but when you look in that mirror, are you really happy with what you're seeing? Are you happy with what you're seeing? So you can best believe next week it's going to be a powerful, it's going to be another powerful show next weekend. I would say the title, but y'all got to stay in it and check it out next weekend. It's going to be powerful again. I'm reaching out to my brothers to let them know everything is okay. We all make mistakes. Like I always say, ain't always been saved, ain't always done right. No one's perfect for Jesus. But you have the opportunity to get it right. So why not? One thing they said, you can't make no grown person do nothing. But you can plant the seed. You can tell them. But it's up to them. So up to them whether they want to do it or not. If they don't want to do it, hey, you just got to keep it moving. Hopefully somebody will come behind us and feed them the same word, encourage them. So hopefully before that God cracked the sky, before they pass away, hey, they give their life to Christ. You know, I pray for all my friends and family to get saved, for God to save them before them out of God. Hey, we're going to have something that's going to stay. They like it. They happy with what they see in the mirror. How can you be happy if you keep getting the same results every single week, every single month, every single year? You still going through the same stuff you've been going through, but you have to. But deep down inside, your heart is broken. You're lost. But then when you get out here in the world, friends, you try to make like everything is cool, but when you get home behind the four walls, you say. So that's why I thank God for the compassionate heart that I have for my brother. So God called all men to be great. God created man first. He gave us authority over the earth. And dog, we ain't messing it up. And we wonder why some of the women act the way they act. Why they saying these things to us. Why they doing the things they doing to us. If we pick the ball back up and stand up on our own 2 feet and put God first, he can change our life. That's if you want to be changed. God ain't going to beg you to change. He ain't going to chase you to change. That's your choice to make that. That's your choice. I got tired of running. I got tired of running. I just got tired. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you know, hey, enough is enough. Like I said, I had a young lady try to kill me. That was it. I couldn't take it no more. But God spared me. God saved me. It was something about what God has inside of me. He's bringing out of me. I didn't understand it at first, why she was doing it, but I'm looking at it, I could have been gone. Several times I could have lost this face of this earth. But God kept me. His grace and mercy. It's a reason. It's a reason why God kept me here. And I'm going to keep doing what he asked me to do. Spread his word, encourage his people, pray for them, love them. That's what I'm going to do. That's what God called me to do. If anybody out there, you know, have anything to comment about the topic, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? If you be women, if you out there and you want something to say about it, then say, my brother Cal, what you think about this topic? My brother, are you happy with what you see in the mirror?
Well, we never should be happy with what we see, because if we become happy with what we see, then God is not willing to change and conform us into the image of His Son. So I'm always looking to be conformed into the image. If we know the scriptures, we know that we were created in the image and the likeness, but we lost the likeness because of the situation at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we've never lost the image, so we're constantly trying to get to be in harmony with both. I can't say that because, you know, I'm saved by grace, but again, I'm a work in progress. And I think that we all are. And to win those that are lost, we need to come down to that level of understanding that just because we are saved or just because we are believers does not mean that we are without fault. The Bible tells us that he that endures until the end shall be saved. So there's a process, and I'm understanding that the enemy is going to check me every step of the way. I tell my people from time to time up here in Maine that before you can get on that airplane, God's got to check your baggage, because some things you can't fly with. You got to go through the baggage check to make sure that it is the proper weight, the proper height, because that airline has to account for a certain amount of weight and a certain amount of gas, jet fuel in the fuselage to make sure that it can get to, watch this, to its particular destination. Why hinder the process if you are not wanting to change, or if you want to conform to the image that you believe that you are happy with? When I talk to my brothers and my sisters, whether it be on conference calls or whether it be here in the streets, I always tell them that it's never what you do, but it is who you are. If you can get past the things that you do and start focusing on how God made you, because God didn't make you with the crack pipe. God didn't make you with thievery or prostitution or pimping or whoremugging. He didn't make you like that. Okay, He made you in his image and his likeness. And we need to continue to teach our brothers and our sisters to that there is a conforming, but it is not to the point where it is you're missing anything. If anything, you're gaining something. You're gaining that precious relationship with Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you from all of your sins. Past, present, and future. So, I do believe that a lot of church folks are happy. I will say that where they are. But those are the ones that can never go beyond to know more about God, because the Bible tells us in Psalms 100 that I shall enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's plural. Gates and courts are plural, not singular. So there's more gates than just the first one. But when we find out that we have to end up losing and compromising something that we become comfortable with, our sacred cow, when we say, well, I don't want to get rid of that, then we have actually said to God that, God, I am comfortable with where I am and what I look at every morning. That's what we're actually saying when God says, I'm calling you into the inner chamber. I'm calling you out of the outer court. I'm calling you out of the inner court. I'm calling you into the Holy of Holies, into the tabernacle where my presence is. And it's strange that and unfortunately a lot of churches across the country preach that get in, just stay saved and be humble so you won't stumble, just get in. But God said there's more. There's got to be more than just Sunday school and Bible school. We have to conform into the image, because we lost some of that when Adam and Eve sinned and the likeness. We have to transform by what? By the renewing of our mind. That's where it first starts. I was just teaching that tonight at church. And we have a work to do. We have to be like Nehemiah on the wall as prophets, as the fivefold ministry, crying out and sparing not, and understand that we have a commission to win the lost, to go out to the heads of the highways and compel, and to multiply the seed, not naturally but spiritually multiply his seed by telling somebody that Jesus Christ has already done it for him. I'm not even going to say that he's going to do it or he can do it. No, he already has done it. You just need to walk into the manifestation. So watch this. So when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for his bride, but he's coming back for the mature bride. And so he's not coming back for the same face that he left. That's what the two angels told the disciples. Oh, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? For the same one that was taken from you shall come back in a like manner. But he's going to come back in a like manner, but he ain't looking for the same thing. So watch this. So I cannot be I cannot be satisfied with what I'm looking at every morning. I gotta be satisfied with, am I changing? Am I changing so that when Christ comes back, he will put that ring on my finger? Come on, y'all. So that's what I'm concerned with. I'm not happy until I conform to the image of God. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's my little brother, y'all. Who would have thought any of my brothers would serve the same God and spread his word? If anybody else out there would have liked to respond or say anything, feel free to press 1. The topic is, my brother, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? And like I said earlier, this goes for the women too. So if there's any women out there that's listening, this question is for you as well. So I know this is talk show format for my brothers, but it's also to help the women as well. And I try to tell my brothers, if we do what we're supposed to, what God calls us to do, you will see women stepping up and pushing us to being great, what God called us to be. You know, and I know my wife is on the line, and I say every Sunday, I thank God for that woman of God that I have in my life. You know, because I've learned a lot from my wife. You know, and I laughed at when she told me one time before, you know, you got to step outside your box. It hurt my feelings, but I did. And when I stepped outside my box, there was a lot of things I was going for, and I let God use me. And I always tell people, I like when God uses me. I like when every morning I get up, I send my wife a scripture, I put scriptures on Facebook, I say this, you know, I get them a scripture, I get them a song for the day, I get them a word for the day. So we don't know. There's people out there that's on Facebook or any social media that's lost. But if you can say one word or just say something, we never know what we might do for that person. It's just like when you walk past somebody and they got this look on their face like they say it. And you say, good morning, or how you doing? You know, or that you love them. That might be all they need to trigger that mind. Man, somebody do care. There's a lot of people out here think that we don't care. Some church folk is about themselves. You know, it's true. You got to go, okay, I'm saying I ain't got to worry about nobody. I'm trying to get myself in the head. Yeah, I understand that too. But there's nothing wrong with pulling your sisters and your brothers back that you used to run with or that you see every day.
Can I add to that, brother?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Kyle. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. What I was also going to say, just talking off of that, was we provide no benefit to the kingdom when we have that kind of thinking, because, you know, we can't get anybody saved and into the kingdom because we're just trying to keep ourselves saved.
Yeah.
You know, and you just brought that out just beautifully. We provide no benefit because we have not, again, and this is a very good topic, we have not desired to conform to the image. We have not become sick and tired of what we're looking at every day. We think of more of it as comfortability equals heaven, which is not true. I mean, because at last I checked, Jesus didn't come to make anybody comfortable. He came to turn some tables. He came to change doctrines. He didn't destroy anything. He fulfilled it. But, you know, we there's no benefit involved. We're so busy trying to get to heaven and miss hell that we don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
We use it as a credit card instead of saying, I want to be in him. You want to be in him. You know, so not in my. He said, I'll give it to you, but in my name, not in my name, which means that you're not going to use my name just for. And there's a scripture in Isaiah 5th chapter talks about that, just to say that you know me, so you can get some sort of perk or some sort of prize or trinket. Now I say I need you to be in me. For the Bible says that if ye what abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall ask. Because when you ask, you're asking it from the essence of me. And so instead of us believing God for it, we should believe God from it. Because if I believe God for something, then I might not ever get it because I'm thinking that it might come. But if I believe God from it, then I'm actually saying that I am it. And I've actually turned my thinking from who, like you said earlier, from who I am to my assignment, which is to help others. It's when you help others that you start to conform to the image, and your ways start to change. You start to, you know, get a little savings account. You start to, you know, read different books, and then you become a benefit to the kingdom, because now your mind is not on you; it's on what God's assignment is for you. And whenever you do what God asks you to do, you have to change. You have to change.
Yeah, that's so true. So, Katrina, you got any
classes? Come
on, give me some
input.
No, you said that last week. No, come on now. Hey, let's talk about it, you know, from a woman's point of view. Talk about it.
Well, I was gonna say something earlier about when you was talking about, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? And a lot of times people are happy because they're comfortable where they are. And they don't think that they're doing anything wrong, you know, and they're living in darkness, and they just don't want to come out of that mode and change. But like I said, I'm just glad that God, he saved me and brought me out of that darkness, and now I'm living for him and, spreading the truth about who God is. And we are made in his likeness, and we have to live as such. And then we take our eyes off of the things that we want to do and start focusing on other people and help and reaching out and helping other people, that's when things, you know, really count. And that's where I'm at now, not focusing on Trina, but focusing on the things that I'm supposed to be doing and reaching out so people can get saved and change.
Yeah, I feel the same way, too. I mean, because I look at all the stuff that I've been through, and that's why I don't have no problem telling my testimony. Because we live off each other's testimony.
Let me have
it. So you never know who's going through some stuff. You know, just like when I started this show, I had one of my coworkers, he don't say to himself, but he just, you know who to talk to, who not to talk to. Because you can't tell everybody your business. You can't. And that's one thing, you know, I had told him, I said, well, whenever you feel like you want to talk, I'm here for you. You know, and by me saying that, all of a sudden, he opened up. And what got me is he's like, scriptures in the morning. That's when I knew right then and there, before I did the show, how I interact with him, I talked with him, just kept encouraging him, and I let him know from one man to another that I'm here for him. You know, that made a difference. And like I said, a couple of days later, he asked me, if there's no problem, can you send me scriptures in the morning? Yeah, no problem. And me and him talk all the time. Now he gets on the show and he likes. He opened up. Now I went to work one day and he looked at me. He's like, something wrong with you? I'm like, nah, you know, just got a lot on my mind. He said, well, you know, I'd be looking for you to come in here happy. So that would keep me going. But then he told me, he said, you remember you told me that you had my back and that you were there for me? I was like, yeah. He said, well, I'm telling you the same thing you told me. I got your back, and I'm here for you. So like I said, by us, you know, being safe, we go through stuff. But when there's other people that's watching us and they see us going through, and when they come to us and let us know, okay, I got your back, that lifted me up even though I was going through, but that put a smile on my face because I was in the same situation where I was thinking about something, but he let me know, I got your back. And that made my day. I got out of that little kitty part. I said, okay, I'm sitting here spreading the word, encouraging him, and he turned around back and do the same thing to me. So I know this assignment that God has me doing at the barbershop. I know it's work. That was a testimony right there for my coworker. He asked about the show every Sunday. When if he's not on, he asked me, he always tells me, that was a good show. What you got coming next with you? I can't tell you, but it's going to be good. That's what I mean. We have to encourage our brothers and sisters. We can't judge them. We can't beat them down. We can't, if you're wrong, you're wrong. We were wrong. So how are we going to sit here and tell somebody that they wrong? We know they wrong. They know they wrong what they doing. But it's not us to tell them that. It's for us to help them. Because we were doing stuff when we was out there in the world. But then we going to get there, like I said, you got folks in church. They don't care about nobody but themselves. I'm sorry. It is what it is. It's true. Church folks are something else. Because you got something that's like Pastor was told to say something that come out pimping God. Hey, you don't want to do that, you know. But I thank God, you know, for saving me. You know, I thank God for his grace and mercy. You know, I mean, there's so much in this topic. And we have to help our brothers and sisters. We do. We can't let them fall to the wayside. When we was out there in the world, then nobody let us fall. We had family members praying for us. So why we can't do the same thing somebody did for us?
Yeah.
Right. You know, we have to do it. We have to step our game up. We have to be there for our family, our friends. We have to let them know. Yeah, we have to tell them the truth. Don't sugarcoat them. They get mad, then we know you know you done something right. You told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth hurts. When they say the truth hurt, they mean the truth hurt. We got to tell it like it is. Just like Pastor said, we got some ministers, preachers out here that's pimping God. They giving people in because they want their money, telling them what's tickling their ear. No, I said a long time ago, I want the ugly truth. Tell me what it is. If you step on my toes, then I need to get myself right. So we got to tell the truth. We can't sugarcoat nothing. But it's not for us to judge on nobody. We
that's
have to show that love and compassion because that's what God did. He set them up for selling. And he loved them. That he did. He loved them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I said, we have to reach back and grab our brothers and sisters. We just don't, you know, like I said, we're not going to get all of them. But we will get some. I take some over none. You know, if we get one or two, hey, we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I encourage people to listen to this show. Best of my brothers, even to the ladies, listen to this show. You got sons, you got brothers, you got a dad, you got an uncle, you got some man in your life that's going through some stuff and don't know how to go about doing it. You can listen to the show yourself and tell them, this is what I heard on the podcast. Check it out. The brothers up here, they're having serious talk. That's what we're here for. We're not here to discriminate. We're here to uplift. We're here to pray for them. We're here to encourage them. You know, that's what we do on the podcast. You know, we don't judge nobody. We don't turn our backs on nobody.
Mm-mm.
And that's, I made sure and I pray that this is what the format is for the Father's job. That we show love and compassion, that someone will open up and tell their story. That's what it's all about. Well, I see our buddy here, 0424. You know who this is, Katrina. That's your buddy. 0424, you're on the air. He comes. Romy Rome.
What it is.
What's going on, man?
How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
I see y'all are in depth conversation, so I'm sitting back here listening.
Man, you know how we do on Father Talk. You know, it is what it is, man. You know, what you think about the topic? You know, me and you talked about it earlier, but you give us some good input on this.
Well, I just caught the tail end of what y'all, the conversation, and I think y'all was talking about pretty much doing your first works. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, like, it's the question that we ask, are you happy with what you see in the mirror?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, And it, my thing is, we can't sit back and let our brothers and sisters fall to the wayside. We have to reach back and grab them. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my brother, he left, I hope he call back in. But it was getting deep. We were getting into some deep talk, you know. And that's the thing about what we do on Barbershop. We like people's input, so we get into some deep conversations. You know, like I said before, me and Jerome always get into deep conversations on the telephone. So, you know, this is something we do every chance we get. So by doing this on this format of Barbershop, I mean, you know, we are enjoying it. But now when you got people that's interacting, you know, that's listening, and it's touching some hearts, it's touching some lives, making people think. And, you know, just like I was telling Katrina, me and you sat here and talked about this topic. If you really look at it, it's for men and women. And it's a deep question. You know, are you happy with what you see in the mirror? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you? You know, but, you know, that's what we were talking about. You know, we have to reach back and grab our brothers and sisters. You know, we got church folk that's sitting up in the church, they ain't telling nobody but themselves. You know, and it's sad that, you know, you say you're a woman of God, you say you're a man of God, but you see him letting your brothers and sisters fall to the wayside, you know, because you don't want to help, because you think you're more holy than thou, which is wrong. You know, I don't want to see none of my family, my friends fall to the wayside.
Well, you know that now. Hey, you know me. I got to keep it real.
Oh, yeah.
See, what the problem is, what the problem is, that thing in the church ain't saved.
Yeah.
It's saved, sanctified, and ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of folks out of position with God because, first of all, the scripture says, ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness will be added upon you. And a lot of people take God first. They take it and instead of waiting on the divine spirit to lead them in the direction that God wants them to go, they take it in places that they choose to go. Whether it's mama's church, daddy's church, grandparents' church, somebody invited them to church, or whatever the case may be, and they end up going to a place where God isn't in the midst, where there's no anointing. And then they end up missing God because God can be to the right, and you over here in the left field. All because you didn't seek the Father first. You seek him, he'll give you everything you need. First of all, you need to develop that relationship with him so that he can give you a spirit of discernment so that you can discern the spirit. Because if not, you're going to end up sitting up under any types of so-called ministries and not knowing whether it's sound doctrine or something somebody made up. So people don't seek God first, and then on top of that, they don't know how to deny themselves. And that's the biggest problem with so-called Christians, saved folks, whatever the case may be. The scripture said, by any man called by my name, to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. A lot of churches ain't teaching folks that. They just teach you need to repent. Yes, you need to repent. You need to call out your sins by name, but you need to learn how to deny yourself because God can't work on your behalf because you're standing in the way of your own blessing because you haven't denied yourself for the Father. And therefore, he can't use you or work through you because you're standing in the way. And that's a problem that's going on with a lot of people sitting up in these churches that don't need to be sitting up in these churches. Now, I'm sorry, it is what it is. So I got a problem. When you up in a church, you paying your tithes and giving your offerings, now the Bible says, bring ye tithes and offer to the storehouse. And of course, we know we're supposed to be blessed. But if you bring if you in a church every week, sometimes two, three times a week, and you paying you sowing seeds, you paying your tithes, and you still going through in your situation, something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with it. So what you need to do, you need to evaluate your relationship with Christ and make sure you're in the position where Christ wants you to be. Because you be sitting in unfertile ground. You sowing your seed in unfertile ground.
You're putting your time and your money in unfertile ground. Therefore, you're doing it in vain. And you want to know why you can't come out. Ain't nobody coming up in the church but the pastor in the church. You still going through struggling in your personal money, health, all types of things, and want to know why you can't come up. It's because you ain't lined up with Christ. And that's the problem with folks and the concept with people sitting in church. Like I say, everything in church ain't saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you sitting up in church, and then you coming into a church and you don't know no better. You a babe in Christ, you're not in the position where you need to be. And you sitting here, you watching man. You watching woman. What they doing. And then that's why a lot of sinners can't come into the church and stay. It's because they don't know no better, and because the so-called saved Christians, whatever they want to call themselves, is up in there. They only save and act like God on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they acting just like the world. So we can't, even if we go out and do our first words is to do what Christ did. Christ walked the land and ministered to the people. He walked and sat with all types of people. He broke bread with all types of people. He didn't go in there carrying a title. I'm bishop this. I'm apostle this. I'm pastor this. He walked and was himself. He was recognized by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. His Spirit was drawing people, and that's what we got to do. See, church folks is so caught up in high-minded and self-righteous. It's to the point where they can't reach nobody because they're so busy. Okay, well, I got a doctorate in theology, and that's all good to be able to define the Word of God with the big Hebrew terms and all that. But what good is all that when you can't come down to reach the people? You sitting up in a church and you got a congregation and you speaking all these big words and they looking at each other like, what does that mean? So how can you touch somebody and bring somebody in? So we go out here and we try to do our first works and do what Christ did and minister and spread the gospel, plant a seed. And then if we bring folks into the house, and if the house ain't right, they're not going to stay. They ain't going to stay there. So then they end up going right back out. So in order for us to do what we need to do, first of all, we need to make sure we own one accord and the right accord with God. To make sure that we're doing what he wants us to do, what's deserving in his eyes. Make sure that we are on point with Christ. Because if we ain't in the position with Christ, when we don't have a personal relationship with the Father, we missing it. We are missing it. So therefore, how can we go out here and try to witness to save somebody else when we all messed up ourselves? First of all, in order to meet somebody, you got to be trained. So the problem is what I found out with churches out here nowadays is very few churches out here, because the word said many are called and few are chosen.
Yeah.
Many call themselves into the ministry. That's why you got to understand and you got to read and study, show yourself approval in the word and rightfully divine the word of God to understand what the word of God is and ask for that spirit of discernment so that you can test the spirit by the spirit. Because not you gonna sit up on any types of false doctrines and a bunch of false prophets proclaiming to come in God's honor. And they not. But you don't know no better because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You ain't in position where you need to be with the Father. You don't have the word in you, and he ain't dwelling in you. And then you end up following this mess, and then won't know. You sitting 10, 15 years up on the same ministry, and you still going through in your situation? That ain't a God I serve.
No.
And they're not teaching folks how to get what they want. First of all, the word says holiness of hell. So we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to live holy. In order for you to live holy, that means you got to worship holiness. You got to practice holiness. You got to find what holiness is. And if you ain't in a ministry that's holiness, first of all, for myself, if it ain't a healing and deliverance ministry, I can't get with. I'm telling you, I can't step out of there. Because first of all, if it ain't a healing and deliverance ministry, that's what people need. They need the healing. They need to be taught how to get the healing, and they need to be taught how to get delivered. That's why people can't come out of their mess, because they ain't been properly taught how to activate the word of God and apply it to their life so they can come out of their situation. That's why folks keep going through in their situation, because they sitting up under false doctrine. They sit where they want to be, they choose to be, and not where God want them to be, and then you want to invite somebody else and bring somebody else into that mess? Come on now. They falling man instead of falling God, and falling man right straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem going on. That's what the problem going on out here in these churches. These churches around here, they so busy trying, they're all about business, all about the numbers that's in attendance, all about the money, the revenue, what they take in every Sunday, every time they open the door. They are not about winning souls into the kingdom. You can call an altar. Okay, you can call an altar. Anybody want to be saved? Okay, first of all, the word says seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you going to call it, put on the altar. Hey, your workers, your lay members, have them get up there, your elders, and work with the people to help them get their deliverance. And then after they get their deliverance, that's not it. That's the beginning of the process. When they repent and they accept the Lord as their Savior, that's the beginning of the process. It got to be some training, some teaching going on after the fact to teach them. First of all, the word said to be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. If you can't teach folk how to renew their mind, it's just like a computer. A computer is just a computer until you program to do whatever you want it to do. That's our mind. In order for us to change the concept and the process of how we do things, our mindset got to change. And if people not teaching folks and instructing folks how to bring change into your life, then guess what? They're gonna continue doing exactly what they know to do, because they know they do not know better. To know better is to do better. So it's gotta be a process where people gotta be worked with in order to get to their point of deliverance. You can confess your sins and repent all the time, but if you don't know how to change your walks and your actions, guess what you're going to continue doing? Repenting about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So your mindset got to change. Your talk got to change. Your walk got to change. He says, separate yourself. Everything's not holy. If you're trying to live holy, you can't keep going to the club. You can't keep doing this. You can't keep hanging out with the boys on the corner drinking. You can't keep doing this and keep doing that. Whatever your weakness is that you ask for deliverance, you got to speak those things into existence. That's what you got to do. You got to change your mindset. And that goes by, okay, well, look, I don't drink no more. I'm not going to drink no more. You got to keep telling yourself. You got to keep telling yourself to the point where you show yourself worthy in God's eye, to the point where he'll take it from you. But your mindset got to change. You got to keep telling yourself, you're not going to do that no more. I ain't going to do that no more. I refuse to do that anymore. And once you keep on saying it, once it gets in your mind, the rest of your body going to catch on. And
that's
once
true.
You catch on, when God see you worthy and see that you meant it from your heart, he'll deliver it from you. He'll take it from you. I talk to a lot of people, even down with smoking. We'll say smoking. Smoking, that's the hardest thing to stop. No, it's not. Your mindset got to change. Drinking, that's the hardest thing to stop. No, it ain't. Your mindset got to change. Your mindset changing, you around here saying that you don't want to drink no more a minute and mean what you say, then you'll stop. So you got to have a made-up mind or a do-right spirit. See, once that mind made up, and that spirit will fall right into place to do right, you'll do right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it don't take out here. And the churches is so far out of order and out of whack, because we got these so-called false prophets, pastors, whatever you want to call them, standing amongst people and misleading people because they got their own hidden agenda. Myself, I'd rather be under the chosen one that's chosen by God. Because if I know that I'm under the chosen one who God put there, and I know that God put there, then guess what? I can grow, because it's all about your spirit being fed. If you sitting up in a, if you sitting up in a ministry and you can't be used in a ministry, you just a pew warmer. Something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some is plenty of stuff to do in a church that you can volunteer your time to be used in the ministry. But if you come in there and it can't be you and the pastor and you got a call of your life to preach the gospel and the pastor ain't trying to pour into you and try to help train you to give you an opportunity to give a platform so God can use what he put in you for to be used for the people, you better get out of there. Because that's not a church where I want to be or going to be. If I'm not coming in and getting what I need, first of all, I ain't coming. The problem is folk go to church because of man. They going up there watching the preacher. Now the preacher ain't. Now the pastor ain't perfect. Now the pastor going out. The pastor's just a man first. But we ain't there to follow the man. We there to follow the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So we get so judgmental. Come on now. Look, you without seeing cast the first stone, who are you to judge that man? That man, you are to follow the Spirit. And if you follow the Spirit and the Holy Ghost and the anointing is in the house, then you getting what you need from the Holy Ghost, not from man. Because man's subject to error. We hope not, you know, because being a pastor, being a leader, you're supposed to hold the pinnacle for what the representation for God is on earth. But you still a man first, and men and man error. That's why they got to repent daily just as well, even more than what we do when you start to step into leadership. Because you can easily error when you in self. We in self daily. We ain't in the Spirit all the time. We in self daily. So then we end up as leaders. Hey, God dealing with us. You pray for your leaders and keep your leaders, but make sure that leader is of God. Make sure the Spirit is dwelling in him. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you go into a church and sit up on a ministry and folks, if somebody in that church and in that ministry ain't testifying, talking about they getting healed through the ministry, getting delivered through the ministry, you better get out of that ministry. Testimony serves is very important in a ministry. You gotta let folks stand up and tell about the goodness of Jesus, what Jesus done in your life. Then that helps you understand. Okay, well that's where I need to be. If God doing it to them, I must be in the right place. I need what they got. Sister, brother, how do I get what you got? I need God to work a miracle in my life, work a miracle in my finances. And those things to look for in a ministry, first of all, like I said, you got to make sure you're in position with God so you're in the right place where the anointing is falling, where the anointing. Man, I'm going to be real with you. I don't mean to be long-winded. I've been in services, man, where I've been in services for 5 hours straight because the anointing fell in the room was so thick that the preacher of the hour couldn't even preach. When the anointing left the room, when the Holy Ghost left the room, all the preacher of the hour could say, look, ain't nothing there for me to say, because the Holy Ghost of folk falling out, getting delivered, getting saved, demons getting cast out. I mean, and when it fell, and when the anointing left the room, all he could say is, ain't nothing for me to do. The anointing done did everything, and we got it. I looked at my clock, my watch, man, said, good God almighty, we've been in here 5 hours, and it didn't even feel like an hour when you're in the presence of God. And that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. Now, I understand you got to start off with a program, but you got to have a starting point. But on that program, if it don't say anywhere where it's subject change due to the anointing, you got to get out of there. Because, first of all, they ain't trying to let the anointing come in there and have his way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand you got to start with a protocol. You got to start out with a program. Yep. You got to start somewhere. But when the anointing come in, whatever's on that program, you got to be pushed aside. I've been in ministry, seen ministries where individuals invite to come and talk. And the Holy Ghost start to use them, then they're going to cut them off. Oh, cut them off. Sit them down. What? We got another service. What? So how can people get what they need when you limiting God?
Yeah.
That ain't God.
Uh-uh.
He's not the author of confusion. That's not God. By no means. When you gonna put a time limit on God? Okay, all right. I've been in services as well. They start 1 hour, and then every Sunday they end out at the same time every Sunday. What kind of mess is this? I said nope. Mm-mm. These folks ought to be ashamed of themselves around here playing church. And then you can't pretty much blame them. You blame the folks that following them. Because mm-hmm. without the people, they ain't going to be in existence. Folks following that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? It ain't no reason why we should be going through what we're going through in the land. As we was, if we was at the whole fullness in the body of Christ. As a church, as a whole, doing what we're supposed to do. As a leader out here in our community, we shouldn't even allow all this mess to go on. Homosexuality come into play, taking prayer out of schools and different things like that. We shouldn't even let that mess come about.
Uh-uh.
But we calling ourselves a church. First of all, the church is right here in us. Uh-huh. That building just a storehouse. That's just a storehouse.
Uh-huh.
So it don't take but two or three to come together in his name, and he'll be in the midst.
Amen.
This is our church. This is our temple. He said he coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. He ain't talking about that building. He's talking about mm-hmm. us. So we're responsible for our own soul salvation. We better get it right. Stop worrying mm-hmm. about the next man. We better get it right, because we the only one can get ourselves into the kingdom. We can't get our wives. We can't get our husbands. We can't get our parents. We can't get these people into heaven. All we can do is what Jesus did, walk the land and minister to the people, tell about the good news, plant a seed, and pray for them, and mm-hmm. let God do the rest. God will do what God don't do. All he want us to do is to be a willing vessel to spread the gospel, plant a seed. You understand what I'm saying? That's just like a farmer. When he plowed the land, he prepped the land. He planted the seeds, and he let God do the rest.
Amen.
God do the rest until it's time for harvest. God water the land. Do what he got. Put sun on the land and cause it to grow. And then when it's harvest time, then we reap the harvest.
That's right.
And that's how concept goes. See, that's what we got to do. We got to make sure that we don't want to accord with God first. That's what the problem is. If you don't like what you see in the mirror, maybe you ain't in the right position with God. You evaluate your situation and see, are you any better than you was last year? Are you any better where you was last week? Are you still going through what you're going through in your body? Are you still going through what you're going through in your mind? Why? Evaluate your relationship with God. Because my God is a healer. My God is a provider.
That's true.
And see what it comes down to, because folks, people are not taught properly. See, it's all about faith based. He said, "Yeah, faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move what mountains, right? Okay, so what if you have faith the size of a mountain? What in the world could you move then?" And that's what the problem is, people. This is what people doing. People caught up in repetitive prayer don't know the difference. Okay, I'm going to tell you the difference. Okay, when you go to God in prayer in a need, when you got a need, okay, God, you go to God in a need, you put it in his hands, and you leave it alone. Don't pick it up no more. Folks keep picking it up, keep praying about it. That's why God can't move on your behalf, because you keep picking up your prayer. You ain't giving him time to work out in your favor. All he wants to do is see if you going to trust him. That's all he wants, to see if you going to trust him with all your heart and all your might. And when you trust him, he know you trust him, and he'll work out in your behalf. Folks say he might not come when he wants, but he's always on time. He's always on time. He'll do it as quick as you move out the way. Quick as you move out the way. Quick as you deny yourself, he'll work out in your behalf. I know, because I'm a witness. But this is what folks do. They get they don't know the difference between repetitive prayer. Repetitive prayer is something when you say, "Lord, protect my family, keep my family covered in prayer." You know, pray for the earth, and you know, you keep doing things like that. That's repetitive prayer. You keep repeating and praying over and over. But when you have a need, that's where your faith come in. Okay, well, God, I have a need. This is what I need. I have a sickness. I need to be healed.
Then you trust mm-hmm. God, you pray, you put it in Jesus' hands, and you leave it alone. But everybody mm-hmm. keep having their hands, keep putting their hands in the cookie jar, mm-hmm. keep fumbling with it. That's just like you trying to save money. That's like you trying to save money, y'all. Thank you, Lord. Binky. Thank you, Lord. You try to save money, put money up. That's why you can't. That's why you got to put it in the bank. Because you can't keep it in the house. Because if you keep it in the house, we put it in that money jar, money bag, wherever you put it at, and we know it there, guess what we going to do? We going to go right back and get it. We going to keep messing with it. You see what I'm saying? And that's the way we are with our prayer. We ain't trusting God. You put it in God's hand and leave it alone. Let it stay in God's hand. Let him work it out on your behalf because it's all about faith. All he wants to know is, are you going to trust him?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see him.
Mm-hmm. We got your butter. Yeah, we got your butter strategy. 3179.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Good. God bless you, Brother Jerome. And tell my sister,
God bless her too.
Amen. Okay, I just like to come from a different angle when you ask that question about if we believe what we see in the mirror. I thought about the scripture, you know, as I was sitting there, like, I'm on the road now headed to the prison. And I thought about the scripture, what it talks about in the book of John. And it said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And every branch, you know, that produces, you know, that bring forth fruit, he said he pruned it, they may bring forth more fruit. And that's the way God is. And then the other scripture I thought about also, too, was the scripture from Genesis, where even when Cain had killed his brother, Abel, and Father God asked him the question, are you your brother's keeper? And when you ask that question about, you know, do you believe what's in the mirror, I think that every Christian, we should examine ourselves daily according to the word and make sure we are pleasing. Because what it is that sometimes if we're not in the word reading daily and the word of faith is not coming to us, we can get slack and the flesh can take over. Pastor talked about it some today. He talked about heaven. And the thing is that sometimes what happens is that we may not be doing all we can do to make impact into the lives of those that surround us. Yesterday I had a chance to visit my son in Oxford. I just took an evening, the whole evening, just went down to, all the way to Oxford with my plate just to visit him. You know, and when I went there, just basically to love him as a father, spend time with my grandkids. But I always know that there's always a mission that God always has. And as men of God, we've got to sharpen our brothers and our sisters. And what happened was, I never said a word much about the word until God had me to say it at the end. We talked about different things. We fellowship. We walked this dog. I'm not a real farm person, a pit bull. But he gave me one pit bull. I got one on chain. He got another one on chain. Me, him, my son. And also the little puppy, even a small puppy, we walked. And we walked about a couple blocks. And the thing was, at the end, God had me to share the word with him. And when I share with him, I share with him about not so much as me as a father, me being an example, but me being an example as a father from the spiritual father that, you know, we share that the spiritual father, Christ, inside of us, allow him to change. I share the how that the fact is that his children, he's got to get into the word to make sure he imparts to them that his children, his grandkids that he may have, that he make an impact in their life, that his children rise up, and the same thing that he's doing to me, I want me to be a part of my grandchildren's life. His children want him to be a part. So the thing is, we got to look in the mirror to be sure we're impacting other people's lives. We got to be sure that our life is our life. We got to be sure that what we do daily is showing love and showing kindness. And what we do daily is showing that we're walking in faith, having a relationship. As your brother talked about, you don't want to just come to an intercourse, but you want to come to the holies of holies. You want to have a worship life that, you know, you praise God until the Holy Ghost brings you to the inner court of the holies of holies, where God takes over. He's part of life to you, that when people see you, automatically God looks off on them. So that's just what I'm looking at. You know, I am in my life. I got to make sure that I'm my brother's keeper. You know, as I see you brothers and I see what you guys be doing, today, as a brother ministered to me, as I was laying on the floor today, my brother imparted to me. They strengthened me. They didn't know that all what I was going through, but what they did, they imparted to me. So that allowed me to be strong and encouraged to keep going, to come back even this afternoon, to go to the prison. I'm my brother's keeper, so now when I go, I've got some not only energy, but I got some life of Christ in me to tell my brothers in prison a good word, to make sure the brother in prison know that we care about them, know that we love them, because the fact is that we are our brother's keeper, and we must check our own life that our life impacts somebody else. We must check our own life.
Amen. Well, it's been a good show today. That as usual, you know, we always have a good show. From day one, after you know, the show's been awesome. It just gets better, like Brother Devin said, get gooder and gooder every week. So we took a couple of weeks off for the ladies, and look, we impacted them, but it still was based around the man doing what he's supposed to do. And you know, like I said earlier, I thank God for the powerful men that he has put in my life, not just at my church that allowed me as minister, but with Elder Wilson, with my brother Cal, that's in Maine, and my boy Jerome. You know, it's just amazing how today when we sit here and we talk about how good God is, how powerful the Spirit is. I've been just sitting there enjoying myself. And the whole while everybody was talking and giving their inputs and advice, I was just thanking God. Because, I mean, today was a good show. And like I said, it's always a good show. But when you got strong brothers that's amongst each other, even though we're in different states or we're in different homes, I mean, it's just for us to have a platform where we can sit and spread the word. It's awesome.
And,
you know, and this is, like I said, I'm glad God gave me this assignment because the compassion heart that I have for my brother, I don't want to see us being fall to the wayside. Worse enough, we go through a whole lot of stuff in the world today being told that we ain't nothing, we bad, you know, we ain't nothing but good, we're selling dope and doing it. No, we got some good brothers out here.
Amen.
We have some good brothers out here, but we, as the good brothers, we still got to reach back and grab our brothers that's lost. Because there's some good in them as well. They just don't have nobody to push them. They don't have nobody to encourage them. You know, it's just like when a guy be in a bad relationship. If he hasn't seen a man treat a woman right, how you expect him to treat her right if he hasn't seen? You know, it's just like you said, it was iron sharpened iron. That's what we have to do as men of God, strong brothers, who not thinking we know holding it down. And just like Jerome said, we're men. We're brothers. We supposed to sit together, God. You know, it's one thing you see other races as men sit together. But with our brothers, we too busy thinking we, you know, that it goes back to my two favorite words, pride and ego. We let that get in the way. Can you imagine if we just let that go and be humble and help our brothers? What we can do in this world, what we can do in our church, our community, in the society, period. If we stick together, we can do a whole, we can change a whole lot. So like Jerome said, you let one woman take prayer out of school, and look what it did for our children. Look what happened in Connecticut when that boy went in that school out. See those kids who couldn't fight for themselves went in there and took their life. Look at the young man who went to the movie theater. They ended up having, and they end up in the church. They end up getting killed. And look what happened in Chicago the 4th of July weekend. 37 people were killed. A 7-year-old boy was killed because he was watching. He was sitting back watching fireworks.
Wow.
That's why I said to the brothers, we have to step up. The ones that lost, those men of God, strong brothers who know God, have a relationship with him. This is the time for us to step back and grab our brothers and let them see. So we got people that, these younger kids are falling to the wayside quick. And I agree with Jerome said, we have to change our mindset. That's why I like doing what I do on this show. It ain't about me. I'm doing the will of God. God called me to do it, I'm going to do it. Like I said before, I ran from this twice. But the opportunity came back again. I said, I can't run. But when I was out there in the world, I had people praying for me. I had people encouraging me. I had guys speaking over my life. It's all, you know, just like Pastor said, you can't forget where we came from.
Amen.
We won't save all our life. We were born in darkness and to sin. Mm-hmm. So why we can't go back and help somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, that's why I have so, when it gets down to, I have so much compassion for my brother. It hurts that you can walk past your brother and don't say nothing. Just like Jerome said, after have to give us opportunity to tell our testimony. I look forward to hearing somebody's testimony, see what God has done for them. But if he did it for them, he can do it for me. That's why I don't have no problem telling my testimony on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Because we never know who listens. We never know. Somebody can be out there on drugs. Somebody can be out there running the wind. Somebody out there is just lost and don't have nobody's turn to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have the format where we open up the door. We show compassion and love to our fellow brothers. You know, with that being said, we got 3 minutes left. I want everybody to say something before we leave. I got my brother back on the line, 7714. You're on the air. Jerome, you go first. What's your last comment for today, brother?
Well, I just want to make a little comment. In order for you to leave, first of all, you got to have a light. You can't keep walking around here in the dark and expect somebody to follow you. So that means you got to have Christ in your life. You got to be Christ in your head in order to lead somebody. If not, we're going to continue. We're going to try to lead folks around in the dark, and we lost our thing.
And Cal, you have the last comment before we leave? Hello?
Yes. Hello? Are you there?
Yeah, we there. I mean, you got
okay.
In the comments.
All right. I wanted to just to commend the brothers that are on the line on tonight that are taking a stand for this purpose that you have the God has planted in you into your spirit, man. But I wanted to say something very controversial, and a lot of people don't understand what I say until I explain it. Is that a lot of people we've grown up in church saying that a prayer changes things. And I'm a firm believer in that, but I'm also a firm believer that that prayer doesn't change things. It changes you until things change. In other words, it when we pray, we are praying out of a need. We want to see things change in our lives, in our communities, in our city, in our nation, in this world. But in the process of that, God and the man of God, I think Jerome, he picked it up beautifully a couple of minutes ago. He was talking. God wants to see where your heart is, because the more you pray for change, it changes you.
Amen.
See, you cannot sit back and have prayer meeting and have all these stewardship meetings and Sunday service. You cannot talk to God and tell him who he is, and God not tell you who you are. Is it impossible? Because God doesn't talk to people who don't talk to him. So when we pray, we must pray with a purpose. And in that purpose, God is changing us into the image, into the likeness of him. So really and truthfully, the important thing is that you change so that you can continue to stay on the wall and your faith be built that much higher. So then when the lost brother sees it, then the lost brother has something to say. So, okay, well, you must have been somewhere that I'm trying to go. So you can't tell me how to get off of drugs, how to quit chasing women unless you ain't been.
Don't mean to cut you off, brother. We're going to do another part, too, but we got to go.
I'm sorry, brother.
I'm sorry, man. Like we always say, God
hey,
loves
you
and
don't
I do,
too. Don't get a preacher.
Hey, please. I love you guys, man. I'll talk to y'all next week, please.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.